This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 437 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne, Victoria, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Just in the middle of online. Oh, it doesn't matter. Gin. I won. It's all right, don't worry. Nice.
You'll be playing Texas Hold'em poker in a minute.
No, I was playing gin.
Right. Rummy. Yeah, nice.
And I just got me 50 points and won, yeah. $15,000.
Fantastic.
Real fake internet dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Genuine imitation money.
Excellent.
How am I? I am.
I am, I said. That's a Neil Diamond song.
See, the thing is,
yeah.
People ask you that. And it's not like you've been sitting there walking along going, how am I? I'm okay. How am I feeling, Glyn? How are you? You don't sit there and ask yourself how you doing.
Yeah.
So when someone asks you, how are you? You shouldn't just go straight away, I'm good. you might not be.
Aaron Guest can relate.
So you posed the question, so I really should reflect on it for a second and just decide.
Right.
I may be absolutely fantabulous, or I could be just like, yeah, ready to just go cutting myself. Yeah, or somewhere possibly in the middle.
Right.
I think. Hang on a sec. I think I'm in the middle, Bruce.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, let's hope that the next hour will bring you back to the same end.
Perilous steep diving. We have to name this episode.
Right. Something tells me you have something already picked.
Well, sort of almost, but not really. Okay. But sort of kind of almost. Now I've just scrolled through what you sent through. I actually have. I think we should have called it the Sucker for Punishment episode. Rackets. Walt Kippenhuck. In brackets.
Right. Okay.
Yep. So it's the Sucker for Punishment, brackets. You can just call it the WK if you want, in brackets.
Right. Okay. Are you going to share your insights on how you came by this naming convention?
No.
Right. Okay.
Secret men's business.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
You know why?
No. Oh.
We got the email from Walt this week.
Yeah.
It's in your list of stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't you read it? He said, I've been following the podcast since day one.
Oh, right.
If that's not a sucker for punishment.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what is.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, really. I mean, and the strange thing is, he must be somewhat sensible.
Right.
Because he says, I usually don't talk about it in public.
Yes.
As I have a family and have to consider the emotional impact on them. I'm sure you understand. So he's not completely dimwitted because he understands the listening to this podcast for such a long period of time is not something you want to be telling too many people about. So we'll call it the Sucker for Punishment episode.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Fair enough. Call it SFPWK if you like.
PWK?
SFP, Sucker for Punishment.
Oh, right. Okay.
WK.
Yeah.
I hate acronyms so much, I started the AAA, the Australians Against Acronyms.
Nice.
So how's your week been?
My good. Did a shoot this morning.
This morning, was it?
Yes.
You sent those photos through. You shot them this morning.
Yes, I shot them this morning.
And you sent them through this afternoon.
Yes.
It has been extensively edited.
Yes. Well, I mean, they've been processed in Darktable, but nothing more than that. Like, I haven't gone multi-layer editing or anything like that. But
you haven't tried to make them look good?
I have.
Oh, sorry. So tell us about your shoot.
Tegan, who I've shot with, this is fourth time I've shot with Tegan, and
going back, so there's your Sucker for Punishment. See, this episode has the naming rights, it's just going to keep on going, you know? Perfect.
And it's Matcham Valley, which is only 15-minute drive from where I live and about a 40-minute drive for Tegan. It's just a valley here on the central coast where I knew there were a lot of deciduous trees, and I took a drive down there last Sunday just to scout out for locations. And
were there any scouts there?
No, there weren't. But there were
no scouts out.
No scouts out. But plenty of nice trees with their, you know, lovely yellows and oranges and red leaves.
Deciduous
they were.
Ah.
And as I said to Tegan, yeah, if we're going to do it, we want to do it soon, because if you leave it too late when the cold starts, then all the leaves end up on the ground. You've got nothing in the trees, you know.
Get the Gonski.
Yeah, so I think we timed it pretty well, you know, given that a couple of years ago I tried to do it at Mount Wilson and we were there a bit early. Yeah, so we got down there about 7:30 this morning.
Can we just one little addendum before we go any further?
Mm.
Just to your previous statements you've just been making, that you wanted to get there before the too many leaves left the trees, correct?
Correct.
Well, in not one of your photos can I see a tree. I think there's a kind of the barest hint of one tree. They're all shooting down onto the ground. So you could have done it in a couple of weeks. Did you not notice? Isn't that funny? So you're thinking that trees with colour.
Yeah.
And you haven't shot any trees with colour.
Yeah, there's probably just the one now, because I don't actually have the images in front of me, but I think there's the one where she's leaning on the fence and in the background you can see the tree.
Kind of almost.
Yeah. But no, I hadn't really thought about it like that. But yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I thought about all the colourful trees and then chose not to shoot them. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Funny how we do this stuff, though.
Yeah.
Your whole focus is colourful trees.
Yeah.
And you didn't shoot it. But yeah, so often we do this sort of stuff. Yeah, we had this idea, and what we end up shooting is not remotely what we thought we were going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going out hoping to take good photos as an example, and
there you go.
So you said you have to do it. Get down there early.
So I got down there about 7:30 in the morning. You know, 15-20 minutes of setting up, because I had some issues. I was trying to set up inside my 80-centimeter octobox a contraption where I could have two flash units. So I was going to have one of them with the flash wave receiver, the receiver attached to it, and I was going to put the other one in slave mode.
Yeah.
With the theory being that I could run both of them at quarter power and get, you know, equivalent to half power flash, you know, and I'd be able to get much faster recycle times.
Assuming both flashes are the same power, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But I just had issues with the hardware, which was not really designed for what I was trying to make it do. So eventually...
Can I ask one little question?
Yeah.
How many times did you practice that before you left?
None.
And this is the appropriate time to be trying, isn't it? On location, cold early morning.
Yeah.
15 minutes model gun, come on, get your not the time. Not.
So
there's a lesson for young punters out there, not the time.
Yeah, so here was the thing. I did sit down with all of the bits and pieces last night, and I put it together, but what I didn't do was check it with the two flashes actually mounted on it. Yeah, so I put all the thing together and went, oh, yeah, this will all go together. I've got all the right connectors for it
to go together. And see if they flashed?
But the problem was the weight of two flashes created too much, you know.
Weight?
Yes. So, you know, it wanted to keep on doing, you know, 180-degree turns inside the octobox.
Oh, so they were flashing okay. They just wouldn't be pointing where you wanted them to go.
Yeah, I just couldn't make the whole thing sit and point in the right direction. And
you tried a pointy stick?
Yes. So, anyway, things to work on for next time. But so I eventually just decided, okay, screw it. I'll just go back to using one flash and, if I have to wait.
And do as I said, concentrate on getting one good photo rather than taking a bunch of ordinary ones, because therefore you wouldn't have to worry about the two flashes at quarter power.
That's right.
Because you weren't taking that many photos. You're trying to get one or two good ones.
Exactly.
Excellent. Glad you followed that advice.
Okay. Go on.
I'm not going to critique the photos until I hear about the experience of the shooting. But how well? Tell us what happened.
Okay. Decided I'd go with one flash, and yeah, we went and we started out by this black fence and a black gate of somebody's property, which I'd left a note in their mailbox on Sunday and said, you know, this is me wanting to do a autumn colours photo shoot on Thursday morning. Wonder if you mind if we use your driveway for some photos? And I never heard from them. So I thought, okay, we'll just shoot, but we'll stay outside their property.
Do you know what you should have done?
What?
Check the mailbox to see if anyone even checked it.
Good point.
Because the letter could still just been sitting in there, and then next week you'd get a message. They may not live there very often.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Bruce.
Yeah.
All my points are good.
Excellent.
So your initial plan of the driveway, obviously, yep, with the curvature of the driveway and the let me guessing the double tracks of the solid track of the driveway going through the colourful leaves was your vision?
Yes and no. The trouble is that you couldn't actually see the driveway because it was covered in leaves. Yeah.
Sounds like no one drives up it very well.
No, exactly. But the thing is that the house was visible from where we were, so I didn't want to go trespassing on their property because I thought, well, they could quite easily see us. So,
well, here's the thing, Bruce, and this is another lesson for youngsters like yourself. Is you get the model to go on the private property, you stay out in the public land shooting, and she's what gets in trouble.
Yeah. So we started shooting. The first of the images that I sent you was before the sun had sort of really touched ground where we were, why the leaves are a bit more dull looking.
But whilst it's also the softer image of the group, one of the softest images of the group.
Yep.
Of shots, because the light is more muted.
Yep. Personally, my favourite is the second shot. I think that's probably the pick. Well,
we're going to talk about him one at a time, dude.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure we will. Yeah.
So let's talk about the first image.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. A couple of tiny things to start with.
Mm.
The fence post coming out of her arm.
Okay.
See, it's got the upright post is right on the edge of her arm.
Yep.
Maybe you could have moved half an inch to your right and blocked that, so it's not quite that solid mass.
Yep.
Because that kind of makes her bigger.
Right.
I'm not necessarily a massive fan of the black lines of the fence, but I gather there's not a lot you could have done elsewise. But I would probably just clone that out.
Oh, really? Remove the fence?
Oh, yeah, because it looks terrible.
Oh, okay.
So if someone's drawn train tracks through the middle of the black, thick black train track. It just doesn't add to the photograph.
Fair enough.
You've got these beautiful soft leaves, these nice mounds, good colour, some nice vertical uprights in the trees.
Yep.
Bang, fence. Yeah, I don't think, because it's two-dimensional, it doesn't add anything to the shot. It doesn't give you any depth. It's not like it's going away from you in distance. It's not like it's got any moss or anything growing on it. It gives it a bit of character.
Right.
It's just black lines.
Yeah.
But other than that, I love her pose.
Mm-hmm.
I like her attitude.
Yep.
I'd like her lips to be together, if it were nitpicking.
Okay.
The light is beautiful and soft. I think you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No, it's
good. A number two, your favourite, is it?
This is probably my favourite of the bunch.
What?
Nice soft light. You've got a bit of three-dimensionality to her face, but the light doesn't feel like it's hitting her straight from in front, like it's wrapped around her quite nicely. And I just, I love the fog in the distance, in the background, that just, I don't know. It's just, I can't put any more to it than that. I just like the image.
Couple of tiny things.
Right.
Her right arm,
yeah,
I would have tried to get a little bit of angle on it. somehow.
Right.
Because it's just straight, almost a straight line. And so it makes a fairly solid mass, again, just going down there.
Right.
It's just this boom, just fall. Even if you just brought a hand behind her back a tiny bit.
Right.
It would have sort of drawn a line in and made her, you know, just a little bit more shapely, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Not easy doing a big jumper and a big jacket, but it would have just turned that line. But see how the fence in this shot, because it's got an angle going away.
Yep.
And even one in the background, it's softer because it's that more out of focus, but it kind of disappears off into the distance.
Yep.
So it gives nice depth.
Yep.
About the only thing I would change, there's only two other things I would change.
Mm.
I'd like her lips to be together.
I'm sensing a theme here.
And that bright out of focus spot just next to her head, I would clone out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just because it competes with her face a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I can't stop looking at it.
Okay.
No, seriously, it's not that
bright.
It's huge. It's killer. It kills the image. Right. Seriously, go clone it out.
Okay.
And look at. See, look, you got to think that this pushes and pulls in images.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So things that pull the eye, as the name implies, and things that push the eye. You want things that push the eye to push the eye towards the subject.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the two fences do.
Right.
Yep. They lead or push the eye in one direction.
Yep.
What you want to try and do is avoid things that pull the eye away from your subject.
Right.
That spot, to my eye,
right,
is a massive pull.
Wow.
You look at it, it's right on her eye line. It's right on her eye height.
Oh, you're just talking about – oh, okay, so just the small circular one.
That round, circular, bright.
Oh, okay, blob. Right. Okay, I get you.
So just go and clone that out and look at how much difference,
right, okay,
your eye – She'll become 20% more dominant in the photograph.
Okay.
By removal of that, even if you just put your finger over it, yeah, it'll just change what your eye does when it looks at the photo dramatically.
Right. Okay.
And that's not something you just have to fix in post, because when you're shooting, that stuff can happen.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah.
But being aware of you should be very cognizant always when looking at your photographs of saying, well, where are my eyes going and why?
Yeah.
What am I seeing? What am I looking at? What do I keep coming back to?
Okay. Yeah?
And if you're doing a storytelling photograph of like a carpenter in his workshop, then where your eye leads is all about storytelling. So the tools, the completed works, the wood shavings, all that sort of, you know, the broom in the corner, all those are elements of the story.
Yeah.
So you don't mind that the eye travels through those. And maybe even returns to them, because some of the, you know, it might be the type of stuff that the woodworker makes that's fascinating. So that's all part of the story. But if what's pulling your eye on a regular basis isn't helping the story, then it's something you want to try and avoid,
right,
or fix in post. So, but I think your lighting, and that's beautiful. I think I think I'd have to say, of all the images I've seen of yours, it's probably your strongest.
Wow. Okay.
Cool. But other than those nitpicking little things, and look, yeah, that's kind of how we get better, though, you know, is by nitpicking the little stuff.
Yeah.
The next one's so bad, we're not even going to talk about it.
Why?
Because it's so bad, we shouldn't even be talking about it.
Okay.
Okay, so whose idea is to throw leaves?
Mine.
Okay, so what are they doing in this shot?
They're falling.
Where?
Right in front of the model.
No, halfway between you and the model.
Yes, absolutely.
A long way away from the model.
Yes.
Random falling. Now, the one on the left looks like a plant in the background out of focus.
Right.
The ones in the foreground, the three or four that have just had a stomach. So I understand the concept.
Yeah.
But the execution should be executed. There's a couple of little problems with the lighting in this one. No, she's smiling too much again. I don't like, yeah. As you know, I don't like women smiling in my photos.
Yeah.
But so there's a couple of problems with the lighting. Her right eye to ours, her left eye is dead.
Right.
You see, there's just no catch light. It just hasn't clicked that eye at all.
Right.
So you've got one eye glowing and one eye just dead.
Right.
What exacerbates that and makes it more detrimental to the image, I'm trying to be nice,
is the shadow over her eye?
Yeah, but no, it's because the cheek is lit. If under the eye wasn't lit, the eye not being lit's not such a problem.
Right.
But because it's basically the face, the forehead and her cheek is lit,
yeah,
it leaves a hole.
Right.
See the difference there? So, I mean, we're talking bringing that flash round closer to you by a foot or so, and that would have fixed the problem, and you'd got that little throw of light that you need.
Right.
It would have also solved the other diabolically bad thing, is the nose shadow.
Yeah, right.
That nose shadow just joins up almost joins up with the cheek shadow.
Yeah.
See that? But it, so it leaves that little weird little kind of triangle of little pyramid of light next to her lips.
Yep.
So that's a little spot of light, which is once again a pull for the eye.
Yep.
And of course, it increases the mass of the cheek, because if the nose shadow and the cheek shadow blend together, it becomes a bigger shadow. So and of course the hair shadow on the other side of the face. Is a little bit hard because it's obviously a fairly thick bit of hair there, so it's leaving a fairly big shadow.
Yeah.
But other than the fact that you, there was a leaf directly out of focus under her chin too, Bruce.
Yes.
Didn't see that one.
Yeah.
It's kind of blends tonally. That's even worse. It's like this little drone, out of focus drone hovering. So the leaf thing needs to be a lot more obvious.
Right.
And realistically, if she's not throwing them, what the hell's going on? Are they just blowing with the wind?
Right.
Is that what you're trying to imply? I'll just coming back to it a little bit more. If she could have stood 1 foot to her right, she would have blocked that black spot of dirt.
That's part of the driveway.
Yeah. So that was if I'd shot that, I'd just clone a few extra leaves in there.
Right.
Because it's a mass. It's a solid mass. So the eye, once again, it's a pull. Yeah. It'll bring the eyes. And I'm not sure if I like the tree stump top left.
Right.
That's just easier
to crop out.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about small stuff here, though, Bruce. We're not talking about wholesale. They're not like those diabolical things you do on the railway track. We're not talking, by comparison, Bruce. You just won a portrait prize.
Okay.
I love it when you shoot.
Of course you do.
Our best episodes. Next one along, obviously, her with the driveway. Now, see, this one I don't have as much of a problem with the driveway being exposed.
Okay.
Because
it's a bit more obvious what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a light you can see. There's a little bit just by it down by the bottom of the frame.
Yeah.
Then a little bit in the middle. Then a little bit towards the top. And it's going off on a bit of an S off to the right.
Yeah.
So it's a path of some form, and that's kind of what we expect through the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not. That to me is less of an issue.
Yeah.
The lighting again is nice. It's soft. Which you kind of need for these autumn sort of shots. Now, were you using any? What kind of filter we're using on the flash?
Quarter CTO.
Yeah, I might have popped it up to half.
Right.
Just everything's so warm.
Yeah, I did kind of think that as I was post-processing, thinking maybe I should have gone to a half, but, you know.
It never hurts to try a couple when you're out shooting gear. Sometimes a half can be too much.
Yeah.
So if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, it's putting a bit of coloured gel on the flash and what we call a quarter or half colour temperature orange.
Yeah.
It just warms up the light coming out of the flash.
And when we say gel, it's like a piece of cellophane. It's not like Vaseline.
Secret plastic, yeah. So a half CTO will make the light look a little bit like it's sunset, that warm light at sunset or warm light at sunrise. So the only other thing, I'm not massively enamored with the gate there, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I see two things there. Just at the bottom of the path.
Right.
There's one leaf that's really highlighted.
Sorry, on the left?
On the path. If you go right from her elbow, there's one leaf that's really high. I'd kill that.
Yep. Okay.
And I would change the colour of the green to orange.
Right.
Of that plant. That plant is such a cold draw to the eye.
Okay.
Now, if that was green tendrils, vines going all over that fence, it'd be great.
Yeah.
It'd be a lovely juxtaposition. As it is, it's a little splodge down the bottom.
Right.
And it doesn't add to the photograph, but it does take a little bit away.
Okay.
But other than that, again, nice job.
Thank you.
I don't ever recall seeing any photos of this girl before, so maybe I blanked them out in misery or something.
You have seen photos of Tegan.
Next one, she's. I think you're burying her in the. Is she dead? You're burying her in the grass.
That's right. Yeah. So what I did was I took a vinyl blanket for her to lie on. So what we did was we cleared a space in the leaves, put the blanket on the ground. I got her to lay down on the ground, and then I sort of just walked around and scooted all the leaves in beside her.
You just kicked leaves at her, did you?
Yeah.
Just kick.
With my hands. I flicked them.
Oh, gently. Okay.
Yeah. So just to cover up the vinyl blanket, although if you look really carefully, you can see a little bit of it underneath her left leg. But generally, it's covered up, and you've got to be looking for it to see it.
Yeah, you got to know what's there. It's just so shadow, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
What I'd done was I'd taken along my stepladder and sat that beside her, and then I'd climbed up on top of the stepladder, so I was sort of looking down at her at sort of a 75-80 degree angle. Yeah. And the Octobox was on the opposing side.
Yeah, exactly.
From where I was. Yeah.
So it's top of frame, basically. Yeah. You can tell. So once again, if anyone wants to see how the lighting's done, you can see it's directly opposite her, slightly to the left.
Yeah.
So it's a little diagonal to you.
Yep.
And you do just look at the zoom in on the eye, and you'll see exactly where the light source is.
Yep.
In relation to her. Now she's got a really hot spot on her cheek. I'm not sure if that's just a web resolution thing or not.
Right. I could probably pull that back in post.
Her cheek looks really specular. I'm not sure what's happened there. Why that's so hard.
Right.
But I don't know if that's just a JPEG email low
could
res artifact. But I'm then again looking on a phone. But it looks pretty evil.
Right.
But other than that, nice.
Thank you.
Been good, aren't we? That goes downhill for me, I think. Yeah, there we go. Next one.
It's a tree, Glenn. It's a tree with leaves on it.
This is probably the shittest use of an autumn tree when I'm going out to shoot autumn tree shots that I've ever seen.
Right. Okay.
Shitiest maxim. I mean, it's a tiny little triangle at the top left hand of the frame, followed directly below by a massive black hole.
Yeah.
You see the massive black hole there? Can you tell by my tone? Massive black hole, mustn't possibly not a good thing for the phone.
Okay.
So I think you should have gone closer to the fence line. So you moved yourself further to your right.
Okay, so bear with me. This was the third frame in the sequence, and the reason I composed it the way I did is because behind her head, I was using her head to mask it, there was this one branch coming down from that tree on the right-hand side that was a really light-coloured grey, and it was in direct sunlight.
Yeah.
And it just jumped out of the other couple of frames that I shot. And so when I looked at them, I've just gone, oh, God, I've got to do something about that. And so I decided, well, okay, I'll use her head to mask that branch.
You were shooting closer to the fence when you could see those?
Yes.
So your body was touching the fence and shooting down the line of the fence?
Pretty much.
Okay. Then you should have shot vertical.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, I'm not sure what's above the shot.
Right.
But the thing is, if you're up by the fence and shooting down the fence, her body blocks that big mass. All around her head then would be these beautiful coloured autumn leaves.
Right.
If you'd shot with the right lens, and the lens would have solved the problem of the branch a lot easier than maybe you using her body to block it.
Okay.
So but once again, what lenses did you have with you?
All three of them.
28 to 75. Yep. Your
70 to 200 and my 15.
Okay, so you're 70 to 200.
Which is what I was on.
At 70, though, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. At 200, it would solve the problem. Trust me on this.
Okay.
Zoom in, walk back.
Okay.
Yeah, because what happens is, I mean, a 200mm lens sees a fraction of the background.
Yeah.
That a 70mm lens sees.
Yes.
So if you're at 200 and step back, you're not seeing any of that background. All that stuff just disappears. And your ability to control the background, because there's a hell of a lot less of it in the frame, it's much easier to eliminate stuff like a branch that's lit up or
right.
A black hole of Calcutta.
Right.
And so other than the fact that her pose is completely unnatural looking, her facial expression is terrible, the lighting's a bit near, and the composition's bad. let's just say next.
Okay.
Other than that, now here we go. We're really using the colourful trees now to our advantage. She's laying on the ground. Can't see them at all. So tell me what was the theme of this again? Sorry.
Yeah, autumn colours.
Which are what?
Yellows and oranges.
Okay, so you lead the conversation.
Look, I'll be honest, these last two images are my least favourite of the lot.
What is the immediate problem that you see?
I don't like the light.
No, that's much worse than that. Keep going. let's go back again. What was the theme of the shoot?
Okay, the green plant on the bottom
massive
right.
Massive green plant, which physically...
Yeah.
Takes up more space, so width-wise, is bigger than her in the frame.
Yeah.
Put your finger on it. Hold your fingers over. No. It's wider than her.
Right.
This great big green lit in full sunshine plant in a warm-toned...
Yeah.
So therein lies the problem with the whole image. Forget the lighting. It's that bonker. And then the green on the left-hand side doesn't help it either. Look... I don't actually have a problem with the lighting per se.
Right.
I have a problem with her looking at you in this lighting.
Right.
So if she'd looked a little bit more towards the light would have covered her face, would have filled the sort of shadowy, not quite so pleasant looking parts of her face, and that would have made the light look a lot nicer.
Yeah,
I think the background light's nice. I think everything else is bad. That's fine. The green's bad, and the other thing I have a slight problem with is her boots are touching her head.
Right.
So when you're trying to do those sort of legs up in the air shot, you kind of need a tiny bit of separation.
I had to get her to bring when I said bring your legs up, she did, and the first frame or two, her legs were a little bit more to the right, but the back of her left ankle was getting direct sunlight on it. And so I had to say to her, bring your legs over a little bit.
That's right. Then it's really, that's the legs are in the perfect position. It's you that's not.
Ah, okay. Right.
So obviously, if you'd moved a little bit further to the right,
yep. The
separation would happen, then you'd get more green plant.
But then I'd get more green plant over.
Yeah, so
over
the
her.
Green plant, so that the pose concept was sound.
Right.
The lighting was sound.
Right.
The location for the shot probably wasn't.
Right.
I was saying, so if you'd moved her back 15, 10 feet.
Yeah.
You know,
into the shadow.
Yeah, and then you could, then you're lighting it, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have had that little bit of space to move. So I think there's nothing wrong with the shot per se. It just missed a bit.
Right.
Still reasonably sound.
Okay.
Now, once again, I would change the colour of the green, I might even do it and send it to you. I'll change the colour of that green plant to orange.
Right.
And show you the difference. So I'll do that. I'll send them up to you so you can put them in the podcast and so people can see what I'm talking about.
Okay, sure.
If that's all right.
Yeah.
And the last one.
Yep. So this one was shot with a three-stop neutral density filter. Because she is being lit by the sun on her left side, camera right, as we're looking at it.
Yeah.
And I had Phil flash on, camera left. And because she was in direct sunlight, and I, obviously I'm limited to a 250th of a second, I wanted to keep the aperture fairly wide open. So I put a three-stop filter on there so that I could open up.
Yeah.
And then just used Phil flash. But I feel like I probably used, the fill flash was probably a bit too powerful. It should have been down a stop or so.
So you're worrying about the lighting again, Bruce.
Okay.
Let's look at all the problems that the outside of the lighting.
Okay.
Now, once again, I can't tell if some of this stuff is artifacts because it's a small JPEG, blah, blah, blah. But her leg
right. That's
sticking up looks plastic.
Yep.
It looks almost a different colour from it. And it looks like someone's thrown a mannequin wearing boots out of a plane, is plummeted head first down, and it bent itself in the ground with one leg sticking straight up. Doesn't it? perfectly. It doesn't look attached to her. So it's gold for that. I gotta tell you, that's gold class. Parachuting without parachutes working. So that whole leg, and of course the boot disappears into the blackness, so you can't see the toe of the boot, you can just see the heel. So it's this plastic leg sticking out of the ground, which is hilarious.
Okay.
All the greens are a problem again for me.
Okay.
And the you know, I even think the light on her looks green. There's lots of things wrong with the light on her, and you know what? She's bloody ND filter, I reckon. I reckon it's changing the skin tones too much.
Right.
I reckon the ND is affecting the skin tones.
Right.
And giving this kind of weird, inconsistent look to it.
Right. Okay.
I think. Once again, I'm looking at a 400K JPEG on my phone.
Yeah.
Without my glasses. So a couple other things to look at, other than the green, right behind her left ear, there's a red thing midair.
Yep.
I don't know what that is, something stuck
it's
in a plant.
It's a flower on a plant.
Yeah, so that's just, once again, it's a pull.
Right.
As is that triangle of green in the blackness above her head.
Right.
Just things that just, and of course, I mean, I would have just taken a photo of that leg. I mean, personally, but I think her expression's okay in this one. I think, I agree, the lighting's not good, but you know, you're at the end of the day shoot, I'm assuming.
Yep.
It's all going to pot. And you know what you're doing? You're doing what I told you not to do.
What's that?
Taking photos for the sake of taking photos, take a few good ones, not keep shooting crappier shots in more and more marginal conditions.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of doing more shots.
Right.
Because you know what? If you had done shot number two and presented that to it, that's a great shot. Job done.
Yeah.
You're wanting to do an autumn shot of a pretty girl in warm tones. You've done it, dude. You've got a second shot.
Yeah.
Job done. Yeah. Everything else is fluff. It's just...
Okay, but in my defense, your very words last week were... Spend 10 minutes getting the shot right, and once you know you've got it in the bag, then you can go ahead and try other stuff. And so that's what I did.
You have to show other people the stuff, though. one good one. That's shown the eight crap. But I think overall, that's one of your stronger shoots with some obvious, not obvious necessarily, but with some room for improvement, which is great because, if you take this on as it's meant, all my critique of your photos is always going to be taken as it's meant, a total piss take out of your skill. this makes sense and you can say, I can see how that would improve. I see how that would improve. Yeah, but I think you've got, let me, if I go through it, you've got one, two, three good images and two half good images.
Mm-hmm.
Out of six, it's pretty good. Six or seven, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's eight all up. I don't like the last two.
I think the second last one has lots of merit. It's not right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, her expression in that one's much – she's got a great little sultry look going on. The red lips are working really good. There's lots more stuff working in that photo than the one above and below it.
Right.
Yeah, but that one has more elements of where it came together. It's just a few things like the green that takes it away. But wait till can you send me a slightly higher res?
Yeah, for sure.
The 400K.
Yeah,
and I'll do a edit on that, and I'll shoot them back to you.
Mm-hmm. I can send you the RAW if you want.
I don't want that.
Okay, I'll just send you a TIFF.
Just send me a 2 meg file or something. Yeah. Just
okay.
So that's it. Thanks, nice for talking with you. It's been lovely insulting you, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the podcast. It's been lovely being a guest.
Thank you, mate.
Pleasure. Night, everyone. But wait, there's more.
Yes. There's always more. Yeah. What do you got on your list?
None.
You have. You sent me through a list.
Did I? You know, I've been out in the gold fields a few times this week.
I would never have guessed.
But this right. No, just, but But so this guy decided he's going to take me out and show me some stuff. He's got the same detector as me. He's actually got two of them. He's going to take me out to one of his spots. He's going to take me around and show me, you know, just to see if I'm doing it right and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, so he's taken me to this couple of kilometres hillsides. They've all been burnt down.
Right.
By some camps, right, having a little campfire, scouts having a campfire, and they got it out of control and burnt down a pine plantation.
Right.
So it's all this hillside. This happened in January. Okay. And for those not necessarily listening immediately, it's now May.
Yes.
Okay. This happened in January. So he's taken me out there. We've walked for 3 hours uphill, down dale, through black, burnt out charcoal messes. Through ravines, up granite laden, not granite laden, quartz laden hills, for 3 hours. Get back to the car, and I've dropped my car key somewhere out. My single solitary key, which is black.
Oh
in
no!
In a black charcoal burnt out.
Oh, that's scary.
It's like an hour. I'm like an hour and a half from an hour and a quarter from home.
Yeah.
And my wife's on the other side of the city, so she's two and a half hours away. And of course, working, and the kids have kind of finished school in like an hour and a half. Oh. And it's like, but I walked for 40 minutes. Can you believe I actually found the damn thing?
Wow.
I mean, it was a miracle. I'd almost given up. In fact, I had given up. I was just walking back to where the other guy was to say, I've given up. And boing, there it was.
So wow.
That was amazing. But I was out there again today, same location.
Yeah.
And I was walking through this area, and I found part of the ground that was still smouldering.
5 months later?
Exactly.
Yikes.
It's just this very slow burn through like this mulch material under like a ledge.
Yikes.
It wasn't burning. It was just smouldering. There's just little gentle puffs of smoke coming out of it still.
Wow.
That's just amazing, I think.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that there was absolutely no gold in this area.
He found two pieces last week. In that spot, there was three other people.
Were you out there when he did?
No, there was three other people out there. But this area is on the grapevine that people are finding quite a bit.
Hate to break it to you, mate. There's no gold there because he took you there.
There's three other people out there detecting as well.
There was gold there, he wouldn't have taken you there.
And there's three people out there today detecting.
Yeah.
So there's like six people besides us out there.
Yeah.
Look, I was going to tell you, the entire area for kilometres. Tens and tens of kilometres is gold diggings. So it's definitely gold there.
Okay.
But once the fire goes through, all the underbrush and all the stuff that's made it impossible to get to for who knows how many years is gone.
Right.
So people jump in and get that's why everyone's in there detecting because they can now access areas where they couldn't other, which is why people are finding gold because all the easy accessible spots have been done years ago.
Right.
But now all the hard to get to spots are in there. And but I found some lovely bullets. I found like about 20 bullets. And I said to him that morning, I said, I've never found a bullet. That'd be kind of cool. I've now found like 30 of them. I don't want to find any more freaking bullets. So basically how quickly something that, that'd be nice. That'd be kind of novel. Loses its appeal very quickly. I started my an Instagram account for The Clueless Prospector.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Following my journeys. And I'm scoring it.
So at the moment,
my trips out.
Oh.
So far it's gold 6, Glyn none.
Right.
It's won 6 of the days. I've won no of the days. So.
Right.
It's all kind of fun. So that's all I've been doing this week. I've been out there twice this week on the gold.
Okay.
But yes, I do have a few things on my wee list, so we should mention them, I guess, I can't remember what they are.
So the Chinese Instagram village.
Oh, yes, so this stupid bloody article on Petapixel, or Petapixel, however you want to pronounce it. It's the Chinese Instagram village.
Right.
So it's this village that's set up for people to go. And the first line is, in today's social media game, simple selfies just don't cut it anymore. The competition for attention is fierce, and in order to keep eyeballs locked, some are stepping up their game. So this is a place in China where all these different locations have been set up for people to photograph. But here's the thing. All the example photographs in the entire article is not a single person taking a selfie.
Right.
It's a place people go to take photos.
Yeah.
Like they might, and there's places like this in Vietnam and stuff as well where, yeah, people can go and have their wedding photos taken or engagements, all that, all sorts of stuff.
Right.
It's all set up and they can dress up and do all this kind of stuff. But not a single one of them is a selfie.
So basically it's a farm full of props.
Exactly. So it's like walking around in a film set and having your photo and taking photos in a film set. So it's okay.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. So first up, the whole thing is supposed to be about simple selfies don't cut it anymore.
Yeah.
There's not a single selfie being taken.
No.
Second, Instagram is banned in China.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So it's not about a Chinese Instagram village because there is no Instagram.
Yeah, right.
And there's not a single freaking selfie. So, I mean, nice article, dude, but no. Yeah. It's just, what tripe do people put on the internet? I mean, I know I put enough out there. And it's just, Ivo Berg is a photographer based in Berlin, Germany. Maybe, lost in translation.
Right.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt, Bruce, which okay. is it's my generous nature come to the fore again.
Yeah.
But I had some of the comments are kind of good. I congratulate them on monetizing rampant self-obsession and narcissism. or I prefer better to have them in one controlled space instead of traveling all over nature and cultural sites.
Nice. Nice.
And then this one guy goes in a tirade about, people are... Some of the readers here are too invested in bashing other people's enjoyment of an activity, branding it as narcissism, vapid and whatnot. Get over yourselves already. It's not any different if you go to some location, take a photo, and then share it on social media. You're doing the same damn thing. that was probably all the funny comments, but yeah, it just irritates me, these articles for the sake of articles, basically.
Yeah.
The second thing on my little list is this was sent through from David Fulton to me about Peak Design are coming out with their own travel tripod.
Yeah, this looks good.
I think it has potentially some merit.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it's using space as to its absolute possible usage.
Yep.
It doesn't look overly stable in some of the video shots.
Right.
On full extension.
See, here's the contradiction when it comes to tripods is that you want mass in order to provide stability, but you don't want mass when it comes to portability.
Exactly.
You know, and that's always going to be a trade-off. You know, when
it should be helium filled.
That's right. What I do like in the video is the fact that they've designed this in such a way that each of the clasps, because it's a 5-segment leg, so you've got 4 clasps per leg. They're designed in such a way that with a single rotation of your hand around all 3 legs, you basically are unlocking all 12 clasps in one motion. And you then basically hold the 3 ends of the feet and extend the whole tripod in one go, and it's like fully extended in no time flat, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty good. Not quite as easy to get back together, of course.
No.
As far as opening it up, it's pretty good. And I like their take on the ball head.
Yes.
The little rotating kind of bezel sort of thing. I thought that looked quite good.
Yep. It's not going to be cheap.
Loved
yeah.
the iPhone holder built into the central console.
Yes.
Very clever. Yeah, very clever.
Absolutely.
Indeed,
so they're saying that this thing will ship December of 2019. And if you get into the Kickstarter now, you can commit, I think it's about $480 US, if I remember correctly. And that will save you around about $120 US on the retail.
That's for the carbon fiber one, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's the carbon fiber one. There is a cheaper one made of aluminium, but that'll obviously be heavier.
Actually, it's made of aluminium.
Thank you, mate. Aluminium is poorer cousin. So anyway, not cheap, but it does look like a pretty decent.
I think it's got some good merit, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hoo-ha.
Oh, yes.
We talked about hoo-ha last week.
Yes,
weren't
we were.
Well, there's a follow-up to hoo-ha.
Yeah.
And that Google has suspended all support for hoo-ha.
Right.
In America.
But it's so, only for their new devices. It's not for the existing devices, correct?
No, but so if you buy a hoo-ha, you can't have Gmail. You can't have Google Maps. You can't have any of the Google Suite stuff isn't yep. going to be supported.
Correct.
Kind of interesting, isn't it, hey?
However, you can still sideload those things if you, you know, choose to do that.
Do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't do that, though, would you?
Yeah, no, you do, because a lot of people like to flash a custom ROM onto the phone, and when you do put a custom ROM onto a phone, they generally don't come with the Google apps on that custom ROM, so you have to go and get the Google apps separately and load them for yourself. And that's fine. You can do that. I am talking about rooting an Android phone.
Oh, don't say that in public.
People who use Android know what I'm talking about, okay? So you can load a custom ROM onto the phone without – it will come without the Google apps, but you can then grab the Google apps separately and load those on as well, and then you've
Why
got –
Why would you want to do that?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's as valuable a process today as it was 8 to 10 years ago. Back around – Froyo and Eclair, which were earlier versions of Android, there was quite an argument for going with a custom ROM. But these days, Android is so damn good as an operating system that I don't think there's a whole lot to be gained by loading a custom ROM onto your phone. Now, there's probably, you know, Android guys, you know, who would still much prefer to have a custom ROM on their phone because it means that they can get a custom ROM which has certain bloatware stripped from it. So they get a cleaner experience. There's a whole bunch of reasons why you may or may not want to do it, but it can still be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway. About the normal humans, though.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of Huawei. There was a great I was at the ABC yesterday working, and one of the people in the Gosford office said, "Oh, how's this for a headline? Huawei to hell."
I've got an article here.
Yeah.
That I thought, George is coming to Africa with me and Ray's coming to – the people come to Africa with me. I thought, well, here's an article. The Art of Safari, Tips for Shooting African Wildlife. Well, here we
right.
go.
Okay.
This could be handy.
Yeah.
Here's a tip. Pro tip number one.
Yeah.
Be ready. Have your camera switched on.
No.
With – the correct settings.
No.
The last thing you want to happen is to have the camera switched off with the wrong settings. Here's the thing. If it's switched off, it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, quite frankly.
That's right.
You know? Charge your batteries. Carry spare batteries. Right. Nothing worse while in the field photographing and you run out of battery power.
This is an article I've got to read.
Know your f-stops from your bus stops.
Oh, please.
There's more. So George, ever again, it'll come in handy for you, do. From memory, George uses Fuji, and by Fuji, I mean Olympus.
Right.
He uses Olympus.
Right.
But in this article, this guy's really telling you how he sets up his Fuji. So it really should be how I use my Fuji on Safari. When I turn it on, I have the right settings on. but here we go. So there's an article. If anyone who wants to take photographs on Safari, please don't come on tour with me. And I'm not going to bother with the last one.
No, I'm keen to know why it's vlog with 8Gs.
Vlog.
What's that all about?
Bored.
Hey?
Bored.
You're bored? Oh, okay.
So you've launched a vlog training site.
Right.
A little micro site on their website.
To teach you how to be a vlogger.
And a vlog, yeah. And okay. A vlog with... So if someone's out there, you know, I know some clueless guy with a prospecting goal wants to set up a vlogging site, he could maybe go there and learn a few tip-a-toos.
Right. Fantastic.
Yeah, that's it from me.
Okay. All right. Well, we got an email from Rob Coates. This was 2 weeks ago, so I apologise to Rob because I was meant to put this in last week's and I accidentally overlooked it. He said, "G'day, geeks. I'm a big fan of Mike Brown, the English pro photographer and YouTuber."
Hey.
Sorry?
It's good.
Right. "I found his latest video, Useless Camera Features, very interesting and thought you might too. It's about 20 minutes long. Stick with it to see some of his knockout photos in the second half and his incisive comments at the end." So I watched it this evening, Rob, and I do tend to agree with him that there are a lot of things on cameras that I would be quite happy not to see, like all of the preset scenes. He raised the issue that one camera he had seen had a preset mode for food photography.
Yes.
It's like, pfft, what's that even mean? Like, what well, settings?
I've got to say that this guy sounds like a wanker. Yeah.
Who, Mike Brown?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Look, this thing, go look at any pro camera in the world.
Yeah.
Which one has scene modes on it?
I don't exactly. know. Exactly.
None.
Okay.
Go to any high-end amateur one.
Yeah.
Which one has scene modes on it?
All of them.
None.
So where do you put the Sony A7 III, which is my new camera?
Oh, that's a toy, isn't it?
Thanks.
Has that got scene modes?
Yeah.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, and I'd be much happier without them.
But see, the thing is, it doesn't hurt you to have it on there.
No,
I mean, it doesn't affect you. Doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't confuse you. It doesn't affect how you shoot. Doesn't have any impact whatsoever.
No. They're not just buried in the menu. They're actually on the rotary knobs on the top.
But you're not using them. You're using M. Yeah,
the point
my
is,
camera's, yeah. my camera's got a P mode on it. I don't use it.
Yeah, true. Same.
It's got a P. P for professional. I don't use that P mode.
Yeah.
It's got a B. I don't use that either.
Bulb.
Yeah, don't use that. I don't do those sort of photos. So P and get rid of those. You can't have this one for every customer. I mostly use M. Can I have three M's? Okay, well, there's B's and B's. Yeah.
How would your M's be different on your three M's?
No, there could be custom M's. There could be this M for shooting. It's always 400 ISO at 250 of a second.
Right.
M is always 200 ISO at 125. I don't know, but give me six M's and less of the P's.
Yeah.
But for all people starting off, remember that 90% of the people who buy SLRs will never learn how to use them.
Yeah.
So they've got to cater for the person who wants to put it on food mode and take a photo.
Yeah.
They're just trying to make it simple. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't recommend people use them.
What Mike said in his video was that half of the reason that they're putting these things on there is because of the vlogger environment where vloggers will review cameras that have come out and will say, this camera has six preset scene modes and this one has seven, therefore the one with seven is a better camera.
But they've had this scene mode since 1987, 88, something like that.
Okay.
Think about it, the worst ones, the Minolta 700 SI, if my brain's
okay.
Film camera. You had to go out and buy a little chip for each of those scene modes.
Yep.
For your portrait, your food. It's costing you $60 a chip.
Yep.
Not for the different kind of chip, not food chips.
Yeah. No.
But at least they're not costing you extra for each one of them. Yeah. But, yeah, anyone who's buying a camera seriously...
Mm.
No one would be looking at that vlogger. And anyone who's an amateur, well, it's not going to make a difference whether it's got seven or eight. They could put 27 of the things in the menu like Olympus do. Yeah, doesn't make a difference. Yeah. That's not stuff I'll get. What I get hung up about is far more important, irrelevant stuff. Like some Nikon cameras have an auto ISO override.
Right. Okay?
So if you go and change the ISO yourself, there's a sub menu that overrides your change and does whatever damn well wants.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know that sub menu is there, you're not going to know what the hell's going wrong with your camera.
Yeah, right.
And that's happened to me on multiple occasions over the years.
Wow.
I have a problem with cameras having shade elimination. Dynamic range optimizer, all sort of stuff. on auto, on maximum, as standard, straight out of the factory. I know, once again, 90% of people who aren't buying these cameras.
Right.
And they're going to, but anything above a certain level, that thing have as a feature, but had the damn thing turned off.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all the Sonys come with it switched off by default.
Which is good, yeah. Some Sonys have turned on by default portrait crop, where it crops, this is from a few years ago, crops the photograph automatically when you do a portrait.
Yeah.
So when I'm at a workshop and I line someone, I'll show someone a photo, they compose it exactly how I want it to, and then the camera chops it up a different way and they can't understand what the hell's going on.
Exactly.
Canon coming default with, when you do a vertical photograph, it shows you a tiny vertical photo on your screen with two black bits. It doesn't rotate the photo to show full screen.
Yes, I've seen that. I could never understand that.
Why it would come standard like that is beyond me. No. You've got a big screen, use the damn thing.
Yeah.
So there's lots of other stuff for me to get cranky over other than bloody moods. But thanks for that, Rob. I've got a few things up my chest now and won't fester quite so much.
We got three stories from Adam through the week.
Oh, we only have enough time for one, surely.
We only got to cover two because one of them we've already covered last week. So the first one was from Petapixel. This microbiology just can spot your fake photos. And again, this is a rehash of the story we've covered in the last two episodes about the badly photoshopped Milky Way over the baobab trees from National Geographic. I'll put that link in the show notes for anyone that wants to have a look at that. The second one is that Nikon has issued recalls for the Z6 and Z7 mirrorless cameras, or the Z6 and Z7, as the Americans would say. Yes, all of them, because they're suffering intermittent problems with the vibration, what's the R stand for? Not reduction? Yeah, reduction. Vibration reduction. Yeah, so it's like the image stabilization, I guess. So basically a bit of an intermittent problem with the Z6 and Z7. So Nikon has said they will cover freight in both directions for any owner of a Z6 or Z7, even if it is already out of warranty. So if you have a Z6
or Z7. Well, it must be a short warranty because they haven't been out that long, have they?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I thought they were fairly new, but maybe they've been out for 12 months. So if you've got one of those two cameras, talk to your Nikon dealer or your local camera store about getting it sent back, checked out, given a clean bill of health and sent back to you at no cost. And then the last one that Adam sent, like I said, this was all about the Lisa Sard debacle, which we covered last week.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about the Peak Designs travel tripod. We've already done that. Then the two other stories that I had. One was the announcement this week of the new Fujifilm GFX 100, but it's a 102 megapixel medium format digital camera with vertical grip built in. It's not detachable. It's just comes with a vertical grip built into it. So it's a massive, massive square chunk of hardware. And I was just doing some maths. My 24 megapixel A7 III, the raw files are 49.5 meg. So by my estimation, that would mean that the raw files coming out of this would be around about 200 megabytes each.
Man.
That's, I mean, I'm sure it's amazing.
It'd be a remarkable camera.
Yeah. If you're going to do, I'm surprised, Glenn, that you don't have anything to say about the sample images on DP Review.
Well, DP Review, you mean? I think, what can you possibly say about them? But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Anyone who puts up a photo with this camera online is doing a disservice to the camera.
Of course.
The only thing you can do is put up a downloadable file.
Yeah.
So do not look at this on the screen, on the web, download it, open it, and watch your jaw drop.
Yeah.
This thing is freaking incredible.
So
the file out of the 50, the detail is mind-blowingly good.
Oh, really?
Mind-blowing. I mean, better than anything Canon, Nikon, Sony, anyone's ever come up with.
Yeah, right.
They're mind-blowingly good. And this is obviously far better because it's bigger.
And did I read somewhere that this is using a sensor that was developed by Sony?
Wouldn't surprise me.
And yet, I don't believe Sony has brought out anything bigger than a 42 megapixel at this point in time.
It's not their market.
Right.
I mean, they're not going for a pro. I mean, this would be it might be either designed or it might be commissioned by Fuji with Sony. I mean, Sony make a lot of Nikon sensors. I mean, they've been making sensors for donkey years.
Yeah.
So it's nothing new there. They make sensors for other camera brands.
Yeah.
But why reinvent the wheel? Go to the people who make the best sensors and get them to do it, yeah.
So for a cool $10,000 US,
yeah,
you'll be able to get your hands on a GFX 100.
Yeah. And that sounds like a lot of money.
Yes, it does.
But it's a pittance considering the first Kodak digital SLR at 0.3 megapixels that took you need to take three shots of the red, green, blue bypass filtration on each shot.
Right.
Was 75,000.
Wow. In what era? So, what was that?
Well, it was late
early
90s.
80s? Oh, okay.
No, late 90s.
Oh, right, okay.
So, yeah, within 20 years, basically 22 years, one-seventh of that sum will buy the most incredible camera pretty much ever built.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. To date, obviously,
And quite amazing. The last thing that I had, which I saw on DIYphotography.net, has the headline, Adobe Panics knocks off 40% from all apps Creative Cloud annual package for a limited time. So currently for $29.99 US per month, you can have the entire Master Collection. I don't know if they call it Master Collection anymore, but what used to be called Master Collection. So basically every app in the Creative Cloud suite.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens, you know, going forward.
Bizarre. That is a strange little deal, it seems to be.
Well, here's the thing. I had noticed over the last couple of weeks a significant uptick in the number of subscribers I was picking up on my Darktable channel and in the number of watched minutes, you know, going through every day.
Just quickly, have you ever seen a downtick?
No.
Right. Don't use that terminology ever again on this podcast.
Okay. And someone in the comments only a couple of days ago said, oh, I'll bet you're seeing a massive spike in your channel because of, you know, all of the pain we're going through in Adobe land at the moment. And I thought, that does make sense.
What pain?
Well, because of the, you know, the constantly rising cost of the subscription.
The non-change in price. My price hasn't gone up in forever. There's this brief thing that came up with Facebook. This brief thing that we talked about last week where there was testing something on their website.
Yeah.
That's the pain, is it? My price hasn't changed, dude.
I don't know.
My price has not changed one iota.
I'm sure it's changed within the last 12 months.
No, it hasn't.
Really?
And
I was
no
pretty
pain.
Sure they jacked it up every 12 months.
No, and there's no pain. And this 40% cheaper. That's right. 40% less pain.
Yeah. It's only for a limited time. So you can only get in on this deal until the offer ends May 17. It's already passed.
Oh,
why are we even talking about this?
Why are you talking about it?
There we go. Podcast over. Move on.
Go back in time, but almost over.
Yeah,
we need to finish off with our man Walt.
Well, I thought you'd pretty much covered it, but anyway, I'll read it
no,
all.
Because he at the end of it,
yes.
He said that.
In all seriousness, though, if you're ever up for a refreshingly different photo excursion, check out the Facebook group Iceberg Season in Newfoundland. And Walt, I'm sorry to say, but I went onto Facebook and I typed in the search bar iceberg season in Newfoundland and I could not find the group.
So, Walt, if you're still suffering with us, send a link.
Yeah, send us a link. All right, that will do it for this week.
That'll be it.
That will be it. What do you got on for the weekend?
I'm going back to playing gym. We're going gold. Got a busy day Saturday. Going up early in the morning for a gold pan and sluice with the kids.
Right.
Then footy in the afternoon.
Can I make a suggestion?
No. Oh, sorry. You mean yes?
Try and find an area that's got some gold.
Oh, there's plenty of gold. Right. I asked someone of the groups. Well, I didn't ask. Some other person asked. I refuse to ask silly questions on the groups. I'm very conscious right. of a newbie type of question. So, yeah. But someone said, oh, where do I find gold?
Yeah.
And the standard answer is it's where it is. It's where you find it, Bruce.
Right.
Gold is where you find it. It's not. In fact, it's extremely rarely anywhere else.
Because you know what I'm thinking? You need to find a map. And then every time somebody asks that question and somebody comes back and says, oh, this area here, you cross that area off your map.
Now, no one ever gives away their spots until somebody right. to do their own research.
Right.
It's there. But once again, you're talking about trying to find something maybe half the size of your small fingernail,
yep.
your pinky fingernail, in an acre of dirt.
Yeah.
it takes effort. Right. Yeah, and the thing is, if you went out your first day and found half a dozen pieces, you'd be happy, but there's no real satisfaction.
Right.
But when you work for something, when you put in the yards and you learn yeah. geology and placements and you know, how to use the tools of the trade and you build a knowledge base,
yeah.
and then you have rewards, well, it's much more rewarding.
Yeah, nice.
I'd just like to be rewarded next week now rather than not in 2 years' time. Tiny little reward.
Yeah.
But like I say, it exercise wise, it's great. I'm out there. I'm in the sunshine. I'm walking through burning fields. walking through the bush. I'm having a great time. So
nice.
That's kind of important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so footy on Saturday afternoon cool. and something else on Sunday.
Excellent.
Yeah. And yourself? More shoots?
I am planning another shoot with Tegan.
Really?
Yes. For Tuesday fortnight, so another 2.5 weeks away.
What's the theme?
I don't want to talk about it.
Can I make one suggestion, though?
Yeah.
Whatever the theme is,
yeah.
include it in your photos this time.
Okay, mate. Great just, tip.
It's a pro tip number two for the day.
Excellent.
All right. Have a lovely night.
All right, mate. You
take care, everybody.
See ya.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.